MrOla.com. See what you've been missing out on. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing. Services such as web and pop3 email, image editing, and logo design at very low rates. Funny videos that will make you poop your pants laughing. Free streaming and downloadable videos. MrOla.com. That's www.MROLAF.com. Videos that will make you poop your pants laughing.
Hi, this is Lisa Butler, American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena. Our website is aaevp.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit wparanormal.com.
Your question, Scott, was better than mine.
What?
The actual making of a crop circle. And since we do happen to have Dr. Simeon Hine on, who's made crop circles.
Yeah.
And been with folks. Yeah. We're going to find out now, how do they make them? How does it work?
It starts with a plan, an idea.
Okay.
And people will sometimes use AutoCAD on a computer or just plain old, you know, compass and trigonometry from high school. And they'll draw them out on paper extensively. And then kind of get a sense of the size that it's going to be. And if you have AutoCAD, it'll automatically figure out the distance between any of the points in the formation. And then you go out there with surveyor's tape and some stalk stomper boards, which are basically planks of wood attached to ropes.
Okay.
One person stands in the center, and another person will hold the surveyor's tape and make what's called construction lines. And the construction lines often take about half the night to put the construction lines down. Now, once the wheat or whatever crop it is flattened, it's a different color than the stalks that are still standing, so you can see it in almost pitch black darkness.
Okay.
And you follow the construction lines, and some of the areas are going to be standing, and some of the areas are within the circle, or within areas of the circle are going to go become flattened. Then you take your stalk stopper board and you flatten it down. And again, on my website, openingminds.info, you can see pictures of the stalk stopping boards and how we do it. And this is how, you know, human-made circles seem to be made without resorting to harmonics or sound or some other method that might also make the crop move. This is the one way, you know, a physical, mechanical way of doing it. But even from the point of view of crystal science, I mean, the piezoelectric effect is a pressure effect that creates energy. And it could be that pressure is put on the wheat, which creates that type of energy. In other words, the stomping board may be part of the reason why the circle generates energy. And anyway, that's how you basically. I know it sounds very simple, but these folks are very creative, and they've had years of experience. Every year they get a little better. And you can do almost anything with two people or more. Sometimes it takes groups of 10 people to make these, with surveyor's tape and a stomper board. And sometimes lasers are used to get exact alignment. That's pretty much the basics of it. It's not all that complicated.
But some of them are complicated. Some of them I've seen photos of are extremely complex.
Well, yes. That's the whole point, and that's the nature of good artwork, is to create an illusion. And when you see these formations, you think, there's no way a human could make that, and that's exactly what the circle makers want you to think. They want you to think that it's not being made by people. And the methodology is not complicated, but the actual process of creating all those patterns, it's more time-consuming than it is complicated. Once you've seen it done like I have, you realize it's not a complicated method. It just takes time, because of the more detail you have, the more time you have to take to actually make sure that the construction lines are all in the right place. But believe me, once the construction lines are there, it's a very quick process to flatten the crop. And the more people you have out there, the quicker the wheat will go down.
Do you think some of the ones that are like extremely complex symbols, that, you know, these very, very complex ones, do you think those actually may take more than one night? It's just that the farmer or the passersby, or, you know, people don't notice it until it's at some point where, you know, all of a sudden they notice it, and then therefore it's complete. Are there multi-night circles?
Or yes, that's a good question. There are. Some of them are too complicated to do in one night, and some of the more famous circles, one by Avebury, 1995, that looks like a spider web, they take more
seen
than
that.
One night to do.
Seen that. That's really cool looking. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not, but it's amazing.
They're beautiful, yeah. Well, the reason I ask is because you could sit there, you could work on a crop circle for multiple nights, I suppose, and really it doesn't actually have to be complete or done until somebody notices it.
Mm-hmm. That's so, right. Very good. Now you're starting to think like a circle maker.
Okay. because I mean, the farmer's going to be out in the field doing stuff, but he's not always going to be at a vantage point of any kind to see, hey, something's happened, or passersby.
Right.
And so until somebody notices it, you've got all the time in the world, actually.
Right, and there was, you know, a very famous bunch of formations a couple years ago. Remember the alien face?
Yep, oh yeah.
Yeah, and the one by the Chilton telescope that was like the Arecibo response message, and there was another face, and there was an alien face, and then there was a face, and then there was an Arecibo response message. Those were made with a different method, and it involved putting lots of cross-hatching patterns down first.
Mm-hmm.
Farmer saw those patterns and didn't know what they were, but he, you know, we know that it was made more than one night. They put the cross-hatched patterns one night, and the next night you go down and you just push down. You know, you now have boxes, lots of boxes across the whole field, boxes, sizes like in a lattice work, and you just push some of them down and leave some of them standing. And of course, from the air, it looks very much like a lithographic process that's used to print pictures in newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you the sensation of looking at a photograph, but it's just a process that involves, you know, pixelization in a sense.
Okay, I still don't understand how the farmers don't get just beyond angry that somebody's out there stomping their crops down.
Well, I mean, some of them probably do.
But
after a while, you got to figure, okay, ooh, it's happened to me, you know.
Yeah.
But it's got to be
I'm
like actually.
My tip back, though.
Yeah, it's in the farmer's catalog that year. There's like
right.
You know, crop circle tip boxes.
He gets an award.
But
for the
but no, I'm thinking it's got to actually at some point become a status symbol or something to have had a crop circle done in your. As a matter of fact, who saw the Neiman Marcus catalog last Christmas?
I didn't.
You didn't? You could buy a crop circle.
What?
You could buy a crop circle. It wasn't really a crop circle because not many people actually are farmers and have crops.
Mm-hmm.
So what it was is, if you didn't have a crop, you know, a crop that they could do, they would come out and they would build you, and it depends on how much you paid, what size you got. But if
mm-hmm.
you wanted like 8 foot by 10 foot or something like that, they would make you a patch of grass or something, sod or whatever, and then they would go and they would mow it and make it certain shapes, you know, and heights,
yeah.
The grass, and then they would paint it too as well, so that in case, you know, your loved one didn't know that was their Christmas present, they would just have it right on it, this is your Christmas present, and your crop circle.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a variation of a crop circle.
Yeah.
And they made it, you know, buy a crop circle for your Christmas
I wonder if
present.
Anybody's ever, like, proposed that way with a crop circle. Like, will you marry me?
Oh, no, that would be cool. Dr.
Hines? People have done things like that. They've had weddings and crop circles. And the circle makers have been employed to make those patterns for those people for the wedding. And, you know, I got to tell you, circle making has become a big business in England. There was an article in this article I mentioned before. I mean, it's apparent now that these circle makers are being paid tens of thousands of dollars to make one of these patterns for advertisements. AMD and Mitsubishi have been involved in this and other companies from time to time. And then they'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in their budget for one circle or a set of circles. So it's become a big business, and the farmers get paid well if they participate in that. So in some sense, it's kind of like an entrepreneurial activity where it's a new way of using the crop. Instead of just growing it to be eaten, it's now being grown as a source of ecotourism or...
And what's left over, you can always reap and sell. You know.
Well, the farmers don't lose that much. They, you know, there was an article. The National Farmers Union said that perhaps the cost is $50 to $100 per formation. So we're not talking a lot of money that's lost when you consider the size of the fields. It's more an aggravation to them because it's a kind of an affront to their sense of control over fields. These are mostly leased fields from Oxford University, but. But it's a sense of control over their, you know, territory, and they don't like that. And there was one farmer this year that cut down a formation that appeared on his property, and the rumor was that it had appeared in an hour and a half in daylight because a pilot flew over it, and when he flew back, the formation was there, and it wasn't apparently wasn't there when he flew over it the first time.
How big was that one? I mean, was it?
Oh, it was about 100 feet long.
Jeez,
but you couldn't do that in an hour and a half, could you?
I couldn't know.
Well, I mean, even a team of 10, you would think that people's observational skills, there's whole classes when you go to forensics and stuff on observational skills, and people's observational skills are not always what they're cracked up to be.
No, and I think sometimes from the different point of view, I mean, pilots don't see them, and then they come back and they see them, and it starts with the idea that they appeared in the daytime. And that's happened a couple times, so one by Stonehenge in 1996. Where the farmer made about $60,000 from the admission fee that he charged.
Wow. That's incredible.
Nice.
Yeah, it's now we're not talking nickels and dimes here. I mean, it's pretty big money for a crop formation. And the circle makers that made that now, you know, they are hiring themselves out to different companies as advertising. I mean, it's become kind of a posh sort of trendy thing to have crop circles made. I mean, you mentioned the Neiman Marcus catalog. But
yeah.
Corporations now realize that to have your logo inscribed in the wheat somewhere is kind of it's good for your public image.
Was this?
It has ecological feeling to it, and it's like, it makes it seem like you know you're with it, you're cool, and they're willing to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars, lots of hundreds of thousands, you know, maybe $400,000 for one circle. I mean, for the whole budget to to have it made and to buy the field and to have it flown over and all that, or a series of circles like AMD did, or Orange phone company.
Cell
phone company in England had a series of faces made by the circle makers in London. A group of three artists that do this. So it's becoming a rather a big business, actually.
Was this pre-Signs the movie or post-Signs the movie? Because there were rumors that was that a Disney movie? I don't remember who made Signs, but that movie with Mel Gibson was that? Am I?
Yeah, Signs.
Yeah. There were rumors that the production company who made the movie went out and were going to do a series of promotional crop circles.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't think that part ever happened, but there were rumors that they were going to do that. And I wonder, like, did that throw the idea in their heads whenever that came out, or was this happening before the movie?
No, this has been going on for a long time before Signs. People have started to use it as a form of advertising. Right in this area, the local hospital had a sort of like a crop formation made by Stan Hurd, who's kind of a very famous crop artist. He doesn't actually use the same method. He actually removes the crop, I think, with a tractor or something. He actually sculpts it rather than just flattening it. But people see it as a good kind of easy venue for public relations and public image.
That's totally bizarre. We need a ghostly talk crop circle.
I was just thinking that, actually.
But I don't have a $500,000.
Better case Photoshop one for us and send it over.
Yeah. Oh, there. Yeah. Oh,
Photoshop one. There we go.
Ghostly Talk has all kinds of Photoshop experts on.
Yeah, and they do all kinds of goofy stuff. Somebody Photoshop us a crop
somebody
circle.
Somebody Photoshop us a just take a any picture of a crop.
I bet you somebody's already started it.
That's cool though. Now, these are crop, what we're talking about, more or less, we've been talking about are crop circles that are man-made, obviously man-made. And you did mention at the beginning of our interview here that there are some that you don't know who made them.
That's right. No, there really are some. In fact, the original circle makers in England, I shouldn't say original, but some of the ones that we know about, the man-made circle makers, Doug and Dave, Doug Bauer and Dave Chorley, I think Doug was from Australia, and there was this phenomenon called the Tully saucer nests, where a number of areas in a swamp were seen to be flattened into circles, and UFOs were seen around there, and that's been seen for hundreds of years. There's a very comprehensive book called it's about circle making. I mean, circles that have been occurring for a long time by Terry Wilson, The Secret History of Crop Circles. In his book, he basically documents hundreds of crop circles from the pre-1970 and earlier, and a lot of them are really associated with strange phenomena. Occasionally, cattle mutilation, but not very often, I should say.
Okay.
But UFO sightings, and so that's the question: is do the UFOs deliberately? And I think UFOs are real. To be honest, I really think they are exactly. I mean, some of them really are what they appear to be, which is ships and vehicles from other worlds. And some of them do leave circles behind in the crop. And are they doing it deliberately, or is it just the repulsion system, kind of a side effect of the repulsion system? I don't know.
Well, you're saying a swamp, for example, that there was formations found in swamps. Now, I'm not a swamp expert.
Of all places, the land.
Yeah.
Swamps are soft, though. I mean, they're
soft.
Yeah.
They're mushy. If you land a craft there, it's going to leave behind a circle.
Well, yeah, it's mushy. As far as the swamp goes, I mean, there's dry land.
Well, it was in swamp grass. It was in the grass.
The grass.
Area.
So it just kind of just mushed down the grass then, kind of.
Yeah, mushed down the grass, and that's been seen a lot. And again, those are mostly, almost all are just simple circles or a group of circles, just like they were in England when they were discovered in the 1980s. just simple circles or groups of circles.
But to manually do it in a swamp doesn't. It seems like you get very little bang for the buck because you're out there in a swamp, presumably in your boots. And
no, I don't think people did that. I mean, I think that was done by. I mean, I think there were UFOs seen there, and I think that's the source of them.
Yeah.
I don't think people did that personally.
Why would they?
They touch down for a coffee break, and then
they touch down for a latte.
Exactly.
Off they go.
Can you imagine them getting stuck and calling for a tow?
Maybe that's why the multiple UFOs.
Right.
I haven't heard of that happening. But, you know, I got this also. I have a friend from New Zealand, and she said they saw the same thing in New Zealand, these areas of swirled grass and UFO sightings. And that has been seen a lot. And my colleague Ron Russell went to a farm in Kansas where someone had reported a disc flying over the field, and they said a blue beam of light came out from the disc. And what was left behind was kind of like a crop graffiti. It wasn't even a circle. It was like the grass had seemed to melt it where the beam of light hit. It was just kind of like a scramble. And that's not even a crop. That's more like a crop from, I don't know what that is. It's not even a formation. But that sort of phenomena seems to leave behind patterns in the wheat. And now some people have suggested that crop circles are a language that was designed for humans to learn, that it was originally an extraterrestrial phenomena, and the whole point was for people to learn how to do it and to make it more sophisticated in a human way. So it's like a parents, and, you know, and that's an interesting analogy if you think about it. I don't know if that's true, but it's certainly a possibility that it's a language that we're learning to speak, and it's a language of a future technology of the shapes. Because I know they look like symbolic shapes when you look at them, you know, the pictures on the internet and so forth. But if you look at science magazines and pictures of nanotechnology and self-assembling particles and materials, if you look at the photos in those science journals, you'll see they look a lot like crop circles. So I'm convinced there's a connection there between the shapes, just the shapes themselves, and the potential, the technological potential of the shapes.
When I think
all technology is based on these kind of grid-like latticework patterns that change the flow of electricity, and the crop circle does the same sort of thing. We just don't know exactly how it's doing it, but it's doing something, and it's in the latticework of wheat, so it's very similar in my view to what's going on right now in nanotechnology.
I always thought it might be like their logo, like if it's like a certain race of aliens or whatever, or UFOs, it's like their their stamp, or their, like, you know, their logo, or like their symbol of their
Kilroy.
So we're talking about intergalactic, like, gang warfare now,
yeah,
kind of.
Exactly,
kind of. the Bloods and the Crips going back and forth around in their ships.
Right.
Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, they're marking their territory. Okay, we've been here. Go away.
Physical graffiti.
Yeah, basically. That's basically what it comes down to.
Planetary graffiti, yeah.
I used to believe the same thing. I actually thought for a while if it was being made by extraterrestrials, maybe it's each one has their own symbol and they're about to land, you know, like in signs. And for a while, I actually thought that might be happening until I met human circle makers who showed me how they did it. But I thought, you know, that might be symbolic. And, you know, maybe some of them are. Who's to say? Oh, and, you know, we're not there with all these circles. We don't really know that they're all, even the areas where we go in England, that they're all man-made. When we just talk to lots of people who seem to know a lot about it. But we don't know the whole story about this. And, you know, it has been going on for a long time all over the world. It's just been recently that we know about it because we have the internet and we have airplanes that can photograph them. But before the age of the airplane, people probably didn't even see them if they were out there. And so this could be a language of communication. It really could be. You know, we don't totally know.
Another thing, is it called Natchez Trace? Somewhere in South America.
The Nazca lines, yeah.
Nazca, yeah. And there's these huge pictures that they didn't notice until, like, the advent of satellites and things like that. One's like a crow or something. And
yeah, that's what I was talking about.
And they're made of rock.
They're made of rock stone.
Yeah. And,
polished stone, usually. They actually made the stones. They colored the stones.
What makes, like, those whether they're, you know, terrestrial in origin or whatever, I don't know. But what makes people want to make these humongous things? Why do the crop circle makers, like, why did they choose that medium to make these? Just, these are humongous pieces of art sometimes. And, I mean, you could just as easily just get a canvas, you know, and paint on the side of a building. But they're going out and stomping down.
But they're big.
They're huge.
They're huge. That's the thing. I mean, and if you're trying to, SOS. I mean, you're stuck on a deserted island, and you see a plane flying over. Hey! And then you're like, you're in the sand going.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. It's not a problem.
Cool. We'll be right back with more Ghostly Talk after this.
Stupid technology.
The more complex technology gets, the more things that can go wrong.
That ties right in with what we're talking about.
Welcome
too.
Back to Dr. Hyde. Welcome, Murphy.
Hi,
thanks. Yeah,
sorry about that.
Murphy's here in the studio.
Yeah, Murphy hasn't visited in a while since that big great storm a few months ago.
Right. Yeah. He did that one huge one where he tore the phone wire and all the wires right off the house.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
And then after that, he stayed away for a while, but today he's back. Yeah. Prank.
You know, we were just too happy. We had a wedding last night. We're all in a good mood. We're learning some really cool new stuff today.
Exactly.
And, you know, he's just got to step in there and let us know that, you know, hey, you're not a superhero just yet.
You're still human, yes.
Yeah.
So, we're back. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And I'm Karma.
And of course, we've got the absolutely fascinating Dr. Simeon Hine on with us, talking about crop circles and all kinds of interesting stuff as well. And I had asked what I tried to ask before before Murphy stepped in. The people that you've met doing the crop circles, is there something about their psychology? Is there something about them that's that, like, you know, you can, like, can you, like, see, meet somebody for a few minutes and know that he's the kind of person or she's the kind of person who would do crop circles? Is there something about them, or are they just everyday folk?
Yeah, some of them are just everyday folks, and they have like an alter ego in a sense. They have another side of themselves that's not apparent from their everyday job. They're mostly people that enjoy art. They're artists. They're artistic, and they also enjoy paranormal phenomena or the sense of mystery, because you make these mostly at night. If you haven't, you know, paid the farmer like we like to do, you're going to be out there at night just picking your own fields, which is what they do. And you know, I don't condone that. That's in fact what they've been doing for a while in England. And they have people with a sense of mystery and perhaps artistic. They have an interest in the paranormal. A lot of these folks started out by wondering if they, what the crop circles were, you know, 10 years ago, if they, and they were wondering if they could make their own crop formations, and just started out with simple little circles, and then thought, hey, maybe, you know, we can encourage bigger ones to show up if we make little ones in the fields or something.
Okay,
very interesting. If you know, like, if you build it, they will come, or if you, you know,
they started making them, and they realized, hey, well, what's the difference between ours and the other ones that we're finding? And eventually they realized that they were the same. Researchers became, the people that were curious, and some of them considered themselves to be researchers, became circle makers. And I have to say, having been out there at night a number of times making circles, there's something really fascinating about it. And, you know, you were asking the question before the break, you know, why not just do art on a canvas? And I mean, you can do both, but there's something about a crop circle, just the size of it and the publicity that it gets, the attention. And artists like to get attention for their art.
Yeah, that's true.
They get a lot of attention this way, and a lot of people get really excited about it. And it's like generating excitement for people. And it's such an unlikely place for art, which is why the whole thing is so strange, is because, you know, the last place you expect to see art is in a farmer's field, because it's so uniform. And in some ways, when they do that, they're making a statement about human creativity. Some of them are making a statement about industrialized agriculture, but it's kind of like a non sequitur. You don't expect to see that type of detail in a wheat field. But
they're symmetrical. From what I'm gathering here, they're symmetrical.
Some of them are.
Many of them are symmetrical and really massive. And it's just, it's that sense of kind of being overwhelmed.
We have a question from Vance of Trinity Science, because he's in the chat room at pioneer.rolo.net.
Mm-hmm.
You click on text chat, and it takes you in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Or ghostlytalk.com, if you're a member, you can go into the Java IRC chat and chat with Ghostly Talk listeners live during the show. And, of course, throughout the week as we pop in and pop out, you know, that kind of thing. But the chat room's always open, but especially during the show. Vance is in there right now from trinityscience.com, and he's fascinated by the wing makers.
Yeah, the wing maker.
The wing maker? Okay.
Formation, the wing maker formation?
Yeah. What's describe that? Yeah. Why is it
with
so fascinating?
I'm not
going to
tell you who that is. No.
I don't know what's
up. Some things that have to remain secret. Thank you, Vance, for the idea. But perhaps Vance can view it and tell us who it is. But it's a group of people. These groups, let me tell you, these groups change from summer to summer, and they lend team members to each other.
Okay.
And, I'm not exactly sure. I have suspicion who that group is. I actually ran into them this summer. They completed some of those big ones, and I actually talked to some of them and saw some of the plans and things. I have to be honest about it. Yeah, I mean, we've gotten to know them because they're such a great source of information.
Yeah.
Because you got to understand, when you're out there making circles at night, really strange things happen. I mean, related to ghosts, people have encountered beings in those circles, people that shouldn't be there. They thought they were their other circle-making teammates, and they weren't.
Well, that's one thing I was thinking about, too. I mean, what's the mood like when you have a group of people out there?
Is it spooky or more artistic,
or are you guys just
excitement?
Having a ball? You're out there stomping around, out there stomping wheat down. I mean,
do you expect spookiness, or does it just, like, happen to you when you're out there doing this work?
Well, you know, part of the reason for going up there is you expect you may see something like that. And these include balls of light and strange light phenomena, UFOs, things that cast light down into circles, ghostly type beings, or shadow people, and entities that are out of the ordinary. Let me put it that way. That's what people have encountered in and around crop circles, extraterrestrials occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And the mood out there, it's absolutely fascinating, I have to be honest with you. It's like nothing else I've ever experienced before. Because it's at night, and so the feeling is that you're doing something that no one else can see you doing. And it's also the feeling of creating something for everyone to enjoy, but it's being done in secret, so it's like secret artwork. And when we operate during the daytime, we're basically operating according to sets of rules and values that we've been taught to, that, you know, that are socially acceptable because we've all been essentially kind of domesticated to live in the societies that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're out there at night, it isn't the feeling of criminality. I wouldn't say that, because we get the same feeling when we're out there on fields that we've paid to be in. It's more the feeling of doing something that's outside the purview of everyday, ordinary social consensus reality.
Well,
and it's stepped into another. It's the feeling of having stepped into another reality. Let me put that's how I can say it. And that you're creating something that's artwork, but it's more than that. It's like a little gateway or a doorway. You know, like a stargate. You're creating your own little stargate that, at the moment, it's private, but in the morning, it'll become very public.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting feeling of creating something that's really out in the ordinary but energetic and then has an impact on a lot of folks. And it's a fascinating feeling.
That's really interesting because I can think of, off the top of my head, like at least three or four different things that are kind of like that but don't encompass everything that crop circle making encompasses. Because, right. For example, out of the ordinary would be considered ghost hunting.
Absolutely.
You know, you're out in the dark and you're looking for stuff and things to happen and weird smells, interesting stuff to happen to your equipment, stuff like that. And if you see a ghost, then that's even doubly, triply, like, you know, bingo.
Yeah.
But ghost hunting encompasses some of that. The other side of ghost hunting, I think, and they're closely related, but not completely, would be urban exploration.
Mm-hmm.
Urban explorers are out there, and they rarely pay to go into the places they go into.
Yeah.
But they do it for their own reasons, and I think some of them are extremely valid. You know, to document, you know, underground caverns and the shape that they're in and old buildings and the shape that they're in, that kind of thing. Urban exploration, of course, has that almost criminal edge to it, too,
mm-hmm.
because if
mm-hmm.
you get caught, that's big, you know, big time stuff. But then also X Games, extreme sports.
Right.
You know, that's got all the thrill of, you know, I mean, why is snowboarding now, you know, an Olympic sport? Things like that. It's because this thrilling and dangerous thing in that case is you know really attractive to people outside of the normal, because otherwise people would just be downhill skiing, right?
That's equally dangerous.
Yeah, if I'm the one doing the downhill skiing, the people at the bottom of the hill are in grave danger. I know because I've bowled people over before. So,
well, you ski, don't you, Carmen? You do ski.
Yeah, I haven't skied in a while, but yeah, snowboarding. I think it's basically like out with the old and with the new type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a newer generation type thing. If I could have learned how to snowboard when I first started skiing, I would be snowboarding. But
instead, yeah,
my body couldn't handle that.
Right, but the X Games now. But this one, this crop circle making has the advantage, all those advantages, and more, because you're going to be noticed.
Yeah,
your work is going to be noticed. Well, some of it may not get noticed, but you know, but if you do it in a public enough place, you know, they will get noticed eventually.
They need to do like the Olympic symbol and crop circles. That'd be so easy.
I wonder
too.
If they're going to do that.
They should.
In And well, I mean, a lot of them are like that, ringed circle,
yeah,
conjoined circles.
There's no fancy little designs and whatnot. Just
the Olympic rings.
Yeah,
yeah.
Joined rings. That's it.
Well, I was just that was something I was wondering. Is, I mean, and I think you did cover that. It's just like what your mood is, like how you interact out there. Like, you know, what's the vibe, so to say? What's the vibe between people? Are you out there just like you're stomping away and you have your plans? You just
like
know where you're
party,
going.
Yeah, or is it spooky? And it's got the edges of all of
them. Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think that's awesome.
Exactly.
But I'm not about to go out and do any.
It's it's kind of a serious mood in some ways, but it's a feeling also of conjuring up magic and alchemy. And there's also the aspect of interacting with the plants. And, of course, if it's a cloudless night, then you kind of are working under the stars. And I got to tell you, it feels a very natural feeling. It feels like something that we've been doing for a long time. I can't totally explain it, but it feels like doing something that our ancestors did, perhaps having something to do with harvesting. I mean, we're working with a natural, you know, medium, the plants, and there's a feeling of communicating with the plants too, and a feeling of being part of nature at the same time, of creating something out of nature, but that's not destructive like modern technology can be, but it's kind of working synergistically with nature, and at the same time the sense of communicating to other people around the planet and perhaps other beings that we don't know about specifically, that feeling of communicating. So it's like kind of like building. It feels like building something magical technology or a magical box, a magical space, and that's what it feels like when you build it. And by the way, the question before that Vance asked about Wingmakers, that name is actually just, I think, that was given to them by Peter Sorensen or another photographer in the area that takes pictures of these circles. I don't think that's an official name of any group. I'm not sure they call themselves the Wingmakers. I think someone, there was a series of circles by the Alton Barnes White Horse, three of them, you know, really big ones, and the last one is absolutely fascinating looking. It's like a big winged disc with all sorts of information inside the circle, and someone gave them that name, Wingmakers, because it's kind of like winged-like formations, but yeah, perhaps we should get those folks on sometime.
Oh, wow.
Why they do this, and I like to talk to them every summer when I'm there, because they're such an interesting eclectic group of folks. They obviously have a lot of energy to be able to do this, and they're very knowledgeable on all sorts of different topics. And when you get all those different types of people in a team, it really creates quite a group of folks with a kind of focused intention. And it really does create magic. I mean, that's the bottom line. It creates things that I can't explain, and no one I don't think anyone can explain. But it's fascinating.
Of all the people that you have interviewed that make these crop circles, has any of them told you that they're like, they feel like they're called to do that, or
they do. They say they feel called to do it. They don't even know where some of these patterns come from. They see them in their minds, and sometimes they feel compelled to go out and do this. And I know one individual that made a formation that he saw in his mind and felt compelled to do it by himself, which I don't think he ever did. He had a team, but he did it by himself, and it turned out there was a group meditating on exactly that shape about a half mile away.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, talk about synchronicity. We were talking about synchronicity at the beginning here. And
yeah.
That's kind of a synchronicity there. You have this alignment between two different people or groups of people or an individual in a group, and they didn't talk ahead of time. They didn't plan this out. And here they, you know, the group is meditating on the shape, and there this circle maker feels he has to go out and make it. So it suggests that it has something to do with remote viewing and perhaps telepathy.
That must fall into line with subtle energy sciences, which is what your group science. And you study that. What kinds of things are you doing? What are your initiatives? What kinds of stuff do you do for that then? Like for stuff, because that's what your whole foundation is, right?
Right. Well, you know, subtle energies work through shapes, and in remote viewing, it works through the ideogram, which is the first part of the viewing process, at least the CRV procedures that were invented by SRI in California, Stanford Research Institute, and the intelligence agencies that kind of commissioned them to invent these protocols. And that starts out by drawing shapes on the page, and I think that crop formations are also like ideogram-like shapes in a sense. And we know from the work of Dr. William Tiller that the bridge between the physical world that we can see in this etheric reality that we we suspect exists that we can't see, but has its own energy sources and energy processes going on. The link between those two worlds is through shapes. So shapes really do create the conditions by which energy can move around between different dimensions. And that's one way it can happen. So when you make sacred shapes out in the field, you're creating the conditions by which energy from other dimensions perhaps can enter into our physical reality and we can see it, or it can affect us in some way. And that's why some people go into circles and feel healthier, or they feel, sometimes they feel sick after having been in a circle. I mean, there's an energy there that affects them. And it, I think it comes through the shape, and I think that's how remote viewing also, we you know, to answer your question, we teach what I like to call resonant viewing. That's pretty much based on the CRV protocols. And so we're interested in how basically people can interact with this type of energy and use it in a beneficial way. After all, the real big prize here is free energy technology.
Oh, yeah. that would be the big one.
Well, yeah, that's the big one, and it has something to do with this. I'm not sure exactly what, but if you can tap into that energy field and get accurate information about a distant person, place, or object, or if you can go out in the field and just create a pattern, you know, someone asked the question before, how do they come up with a pattern? Do they feel like compelled or called to do this? And some of them really feel like they're supposed to be doing this. It's like a service to humankind. And they just subconsciously get these ideas and they go out and make the pattern. And lo and behold, some of those patterns really are pretty active and are creating some sort of effects that, you know, affects us and our equipment. And, you know, both cases of resonant viewing and crop circles, you know, you're having people work with their subconscious to create access to another level of energy or information. And if you can do that consistently enough, you have access perhaps to other types of energy that we could transform and filter into an energy form that we could use and, you know, make fossil fuels and nuclear technology thing of yesterday.
Well, one thing I was thinking of also, we've been discussing this, concerning the crops themselves. We might be taking a step back, but I was curious. I mean, we've talked. You said you mentioned that there's wheat crops. Now, I don't really know the native crops to England. I assume there's wheat. Do they have corn, for example?
Well, they call our wheat. They call corn.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
and they call our corn maize.
And really, I mean, I guess that particular formation, like, well, that particular plant, that's the big tall corn stalks and whatnot. Is that really the only thing that they can work on as far as doing these crop formations?
Mostly in wheat.
Mostly in wheat. I'm just wondering, this is going to be a really crazy question, but I was wondering if you have different plants, let's say, different plants, if there's certain plants that you work on that may be more active, you know, ethereally speaking.
Well, I mean, if it all has to do with energy, that makes sense. I mean, I did hear once that somebody or other theorized or ran a some kind of test or something and decided that plants actually do cry or emit some of energy.
Something,
you know,
you guys are stomping on
when hurt. Yeah, and so I wonder if, like, you know, barley or oats or something would do a different kind of energy transformation than wheat.
Yeah, well, I mean, would the wheat get more angry than the oat, for example, if you stomped on it? I'm just wondering if that's possibly the cause of these energies, and if there's different types of fields you can work on, what the effects would be, basically. I'm just curious.
Weird. I don't know.
It's something that was just jogging around in my head.
Those are all good questions.
I mean, I don't know if you could, like,
know the answer to all.
You could actually, like, do a tobacco field from. I don't know. You don't want to do a tobacco
formation
here
big,
in this country.
Big money.
I think you'd get shot.
Yeah.
You'd get shot at if you do that here in this country, for sure.
I just want to say something. I don't think the wheat gets angry, mostly.
Okay. All right.
If you make the crop circle with respect to the plants, you're allowing them to participate in a larger pattern.
Okay.
And they're
going
to be eaten anyway in a couple weeks by farm animals.
Okay.
Mostly. So they're on their way to being harvested.
All right.
One way or another. By the time they're harvested, the plant's pretty much dead.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't really kill the plants either to make them into a formation, but it certainly puts some sort of stress on them. There's no doubt about it.
Uh-huh.
The upside is they're participating in some sort of larger energy pattern, and I get the feeling that they don't dislike it.
Mm-hmm.
If I got that feeling, I wouldn't be involved in making any of it. But,
right.
I think that they participate in it, and it's sort of a communication, and in a sense, maybe it's a sacrifice to participate in a larger cause, but we don't really know the difference between the different plant types because, you know, we are a nonprofit, and we need funding, basically, to be able to pay enough farmers to work in their fields and test it, all the things that you're saying, to test it out, to make lots of different types of formations, yeah, different types of plants. That's the only way we'll really find out what exactly is going on. We did make one in Kansas a couple of years ago. We had permission to make a small one. And those pictures are on the openingminds.info website. And you can see this Kansas formation. It's on the link on the left side for pictures, openingminds.info. Click on the link. You'll see the weird things that happened in the slide film. My colleague, Ron Russell, took pictures with an expensive, you know, professional series Nikon camera. And you may have seen this with ghost photos, but, I mean, something strange happened to the film. And it never happened before anywhere else. But there were strange lights in and around that crop circle superimposed on our pictures of ourselves. We don't know what those are. It's just really strange. And we also take measurements with a static electricity meter, and sometimes we get very high static readings in some of the crop circles. So the shape itself does create an energy signature that you can measure, actually, with a good quality static electricity meter like we use. Some people also use electromagnetic field.
I'm looking at, actually, from your chapter teasers you have for download, I'm looking at those right now, and I'm looking at chapter 6 with the liquid landscapes. And from an artistic point of view, I mean, we're looking at this thing right now as we speak. I mean, if you just look at this picture, like, from high up, this looks metallic. It looks like metallic and liquid in some way, I guess. It's a liquid landscape, I guess, what you're calling it. But it looks three-dimensional.
It does, yeah.
That's got to be a bear to make. That has to be.
Again, you're dealing with very creative artists that are going to spend all winter coming up with these designs.
Well, that's true. That's
thinking of ways to make them.
Well, that's really pretty. It's really beautiful. I mean, I'm just looking. I'm just kind of going. It's.
So you're talking about the triangle with the 3D cubes.
Yeah, yeah.
That particular team, they were paid by the Daily Mail. That was the circle makers from London that made that one. They were paid by the Daily Mail, and the Daily Mail went around and interviewed people. Do you think humans could do this? And people said, oh, no, it's impossible. And then they kind of said, well, we paid to have this formation made. That particular team is very well known for making three-dimensional formations. And, you know, they do a lot of this sort of work. And they're artists. They're good artists. They'll sit down and try to figure out how can we make it look different than just crop. And they come up with these ways, and it fools your eye into thinking it's three-dimensional.
It looks really neat.
On openingminds.info, if you click on the links section, you can go to the crop circle connector. It's free. CropCircleConnector.com,
mm-hmm.
And there's a link through it on the openingminds.info website, and you can see all the circles from this year, including the ones that are apparently made by the wingmakers and all the other ones. If you go to the back past years, you have to pay a fee to join, but this year's formations are free, and you can take a look for yourself and see what those folks have been doing.
Definitely.
And each year they get more and more sophisticated and complicated. It's really quite amazing. And
well, they're developing. They're progressing. I mean, every year they get better.
They're developing, progressing. And I just want to mention that we give these crop circle tours that are every July for people that want to go and see these for themselves and meet some of these circle makers. You can come along with us.
And these people, you can just meet them. They're not like some secret like alliance where you have to like knock 15 times and then say Alibaba or whatever to get in the door. I mean, you can just meet these people.
And we meet with them every summer.
Okay.
Wow.
They're just regular people. That's cool.
I'd love it if some Ghostly Talk listeners went on the tour next year, July.
Made a big Ghostly Talk logo.
And convinced them to make a big cheesy logo. No. I mean, no. If they actually went, and then we could have them call in and talk about their trip.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be really cool from you know.
This is a whole different viewpoint on this.
I think it's amazing. You know what else I think? Dr. Hine, I think it would be awesome if you made it like homework in your resident viewing classes, made it an assignment to participate in one of the open remote viewing projects like that goes on at Trinity Science. Or
I can send people a link about it in my next newsletter.
I think everyone should like go ahead and try it because it's completely free to try, and it's not tracked to who you are or anything
right.
like that. You can say, I wish to remain anonymous, or you can, you know, provide info. But it would be interesting, because I know that the purpose for Vance's open remote, well, the purpose for the Ghostly Talk Trinity Science one was to get as many people from different backgrounds, you know, to throw data in into the pot and see what came out of it. And I'm sure that, you know, Vance wants, if he's calling for open submissions, that would rock.
Yeah.
So trinityscience.com, that would be a neat homework assignment.
I'm glad to tell people about it because it's always a lot of fun to participate in these experiments. And, you know, we always learn something new, and it's exciting to really explore new territory. And, again, that's what crop circles are like, or remote viewing. We're exploring a new territory. We're just at kind of the wobbly leg stages here, just figuring out how it works and what it does. And you know, sometimes it's really, really accurate, the remote viewing data. It's always amazing to see that. And we're studying new terrain here. And I think ghosts falls into that too. All these so-called paranormal topics are, in my view, a form of the subtle energy science. Possibly, it's a edge of a new scientific paradigm.
Well, the more, you know, I talk with a lot of people, and the more I talk about this stuff, and I'm on here every week, I'm learning it all seems to be interrelated somehow. And
yeah, really,
all these things. I mean, all the way back from the pyramids of Egypt up to, you know, telepathy and teleportation and crop circles. And
there's a lot more gray areas than we thought there were originally when we got into this.
Yeah, it's not just ghosts versus, you know, UFOs.
Yeah.
There's some interrelation with absolutely everything, and it's really bizarre. And I have yet to put my finger on it, but it would be, you know, kudos to the person who does.
Yes, exactly,
because it's
exactly
wild. So your book is available off the website, off of Amazon, or?
It's on Amazon.
Actually, now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Special offer for Ghostly Talk listeners.
Ooh, I like that. I like
on
that.
On the openingminds.info website, it's just basically a discounted price, and I'll autographed copy. It's free shipping. Just go to openingminds.info and click on the link for Ghostly Talk listeners special offer. And,
I want one tomorrow.
You can get a discounted copy of Opening Minds. And
actually,
a signed copy as well. And, of course, it's also available on Amazon, and there's an ebook version available, and that information is on the website. And you can go to your bookstore and order it to your library.
Oh, that's
excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent. I definitely wish you... just the teasers alone were compelling enough.
I think
it's a whole new viewpoint. I mean, I've never... Like I said, I'm not well read in this, unfortunately. That's why I was geeked to do this, because I'm going to learn something new tonight, I think. And I did.
Oh,
this
definitely.
This is more or less an art form. This is really what it's turned into. And there's
a magic.
There's a big reason behind
magic
it. There's a lot more to it than that. Too.
Ritual magic.
Being worked on.
Symbologic, you know?
Symbolism.
The
symbology.
Whatever
yeah.
Scott says.
So, well, I have to say thank you very much. We do have to make way for W Paranormal, which is coming up on Pioneer Radio Network. Dr. Hine, thank you so very, very much.
Thanks for having an open mind and being able to look at it in a different way, because I agree with you, it is a different way to look at the phenomena, but I think it's the most accurate way as far as I can see.
Well, you talk to these people.
Yeah.
So they're kind of our friends now, and they give us ideas about how to make our own circles, and they're a great source of information about strange things that happen out there, and they're really the source of the whole phenomena, at least for the last 10 years. But we need to talk to them, and a lot of people have vilified them, but they're important participants in the whole process.
I think it's amazing.
We'll definitely talk. I'm going to read more into this now. Thank you, Dr. Ryan.
Thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
We appreciate
it. Let's do it again sometime.
Definitely. I'll have you. Thank you very much.
I do appreciate
take care. Good night.
Bye-bye, and you
guys.
Too.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wow.
I'm you know,
let's
doing
go,
ghostly
let's go
talk.
Find some grass somewhere and just stomp it down.
Doing ghostly talk is
we
really...
We are leaving Michigan soon.
Really keeps me busy.
What's that?
We are leaving Michigan soon.
Oh, that's true. There might be some fields where we're going. Oh, there are some fields where we're going, aren't there?
There's a lot
big
of fields.
Big fields. Many fields.
Well, we just went through all those cornfields going to Indiana.
I know.
But we got to watch out for the killer cows
they
in the garden of the pot.
Yeah, the French cows.
The French cows.
This. You leave my fields alone. Get away.
That was sober.
That
was a sober theory right there, too. There was no drugs involved with
no
that.
No drugs, and no drinking, nothing. It was just
marijuana guarding cows.
They were guarding the fields.
Smoking
marijuana.
A cigarette.
Smoking a cigarette with a beer.
Stupid American, get out of my field.
Yes, that's how it came out.
All right, we're out of here, though. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. This is
I know I did.
This is one of those shows. Another
doing ghostly
shows.
Talk. This is why I do it. I'm so, you know, geeked right now.
Yeah.
But we do have to make way for W Paranormal. It's coming up next on Pioneer. www.ghostlytalk.com. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott O.
And I am Paramount.
See you next week.
Bye bye.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.